This podcast is sponsored by Gemstone Gift Boutique, where you can find all the best jewelry and gifts to your heart's desire with the best and the brightest gemstones. Follow them on Instagram at GEMSTONEGIFTBOUTIQUE, Gemstone Gift Boutique, all one word. Or if you're on Etsy, you can also buy from their store there. Same thing, Gemstone Gift Boutique. It's got great stuff. There are so many great gifts to give a loved one. Since we are in the holiday season, there are tons to choose from. So make sure you check them out. Evil in the woods. It was a cold December night, and I was just a child. The stack of firewood was nearing the bottom, and my grandmother knew it wasn't going to last till morning. She asked my uncle to fetch some more from the mountains. My uncle took me with him, and we drove off in his pickup truck. He chopped the wood, and I stacked it as fast as I could. By the time we finished, the sun was setting, and the bed of the pickup truck was half full. On the way home, the sun disappeared from the sky, and it grew very dark. We were driving down a dirt road that led through the woods. I leaned my head against the window and watched the silhouettes of the trees race past as the stars twinkled above them. All of a sudden, I got the awful feeling that we were being watched. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and a chill ran down my spine. My uncle had a strange look on his face, and he was staring directly ahead. Just then, I heard a tap, tap, tap on the window behind me. I started to turn around, but my uncle suddenly shouted, "Don't." I completely froze. My heart started beating rapidly. My uncle put his foot down on the accelerator, and we began to speed up. It was the first time I had ever seen real fear on my uncle's face. I heard another tap, tap, tap on the window beside me. "Look at me," my uncle shouted. "Don't turn around. Keep looking at me." I didn't know what was going on. My mind was racing. All of a sudden, I felt the truck dip as if something heavy had landed in the back. My uncle sped up even more and started praying very loudly in our native language. I wanted to cry. I wanted it to stop. Once again, I heard a tap, tap, tap on the window behind me. "Just keep looking at me and don't turn away," my uncle cried over and over. I could see he was on the verge of tears. He was driving faster and faster, pushing the engine to its limits. My heart was beating so rapidly, I thought it would leap out of my chest. It was getting harder for me to breathe. I shut my eyes as tight as I could and whispered a prayer. A minute or two passed, and then the truck dipped again. My uncle looked around and let out a deep sigh of relief. He slowed down, and everything was quiet once again. All I could hear was the drone of the truck's engine and the crunch of the gravel on the dirt road. My uncle looked at me and said, "We will have your father do a prayer in the morning, so the evil will forget our faces." I remember curling up on the seat and just staring at the clock on the dashboard as I listened to my uncle sing an old prayer. By the time we got back to my grandmother's house, I was almost asleep. My uncle carried me inside and put me to bed. To this day, my uncle has never talked about what happened that night. The waiter. When my mother was young, she went out on a blind date. Her date took her to a restaurant, and although he was nice enough, she just wasn't into him. Halfway through the meal, she was so bored that she was already thinking of excuses so that she could leave early. The waiter could tell she was bored and kept smiling and winking at her. While my mom's date was in the restroom, the waiter approached her and started asking her if she was okay. She explained that she was on a blind date, but she wasn't having much fun. It turned out that the waiter was just about to get off work. He offered to give my mother a ride home if she waited another 10 minutes. She considered it and was tempted to say yes, but just then, her date came back from the restroom. She shook her head, smiled at the waiter, and told him no thanks. My mom and her date finished their meals, and he drove her home. The next night, my mom happened to be watching the evening news. There was a news flash saying that a woman had been found murdered behind a restaurant the night before. She realized it was the same restaurant she had been at with her date. Then, they said that the police had already caught the killer. A picture flashed up on the screen. It was the waiter. Lemonade stand. I grew up in a very small town in Montana, and during the summer, my brother and I would sometimes sell lemonade by the side of the road. We didn't make a lot of money, but we did have fun selling the lemonade to people who were passing by. One hot afternoon, my brother and I were standing at our lemonade stand when we noticed an old, rusty car pass by us two or three times. At the time, it struck me as a little creepy. Eventually, the car slowed down and stopped right in front of the stand. There was a woman in the passenger seat, and as she rolled her window down, I saw she was really skinny, with gray hair that was stained a sickly yellow hue from too much smoking. I couldn't see the man who was driving very well, because he never looked at me and just stared straight ahead. Both of them seemed very odd, and their clothes were old and dirty. You boys out here selling lemonade all by yourselves? Croaked the woman. Yeah, my mom lets us, I replied. Is your mom home? She asked. Yeah, she's in the house, I said. The woman turned and looked at the man who was driving. He nodded, still staring straight ahead. The woman turned back to me and said, Okay, I'll have a lemonade. That'll be 25 cents, I said as I poured her a glass. She rummaged around in her purse, and I could hear coins clinking. Then, she pulled out a $5 bill and held it to me. A chill went down my spine. Why was she handing me a $5 bill if she had coins in her purse? Something just didn't feel right. I don't have any change, I lied. You can keep the change, she croaked. Just come and take it. Something felt very wrong. But $5 is a lot of money to a kid. I walked up to the car and reached out to take the $5 from her hand. As soon as my fingers touched it, the woman suddenly grabbed me by the wrist and began pulling me into her car. I screamed at the top of my lungs, and my brother ran to the house yelling for help. The man floored the accelerator, and the car lurched forward. I fought with all my might and managed to wrench myself free from her grasp. The car stopped, and the man got out, but I was already running for my life. My brother was pounding on the door and screaming. My mother rushed out, and I turned just in time to see the rusty, old car speeding away. We told my mom what had happened, and she called the police. When my brother and I calmed down and went back to the lemonade stand, there was a $5 bill lying on the ground. We packed up the lemonade stand and put it away for good. Apartment window. One cold evening in December, a girl invited a group of friends over to her apartment for a party. There were 5 boys and 6 girls. They put on some music, cleared a space in the living room, and began dancing. They were all having a really good time until they heard a loud banging noise. The friends all turned around and were astonished to see the figure of a man standing at the apartment window. It was freezing outside, and the window was covered in frost, so they could only just make him out. His shadowy hand pounded against the icy apartment window. One of the boys shut off the music and shouted, What? What do you want? Through the frosted window, they could hear the man yelling, Keep it down in there. Don't you know what time it is? The boys and girls all apologized, saying, Sorry. We'll be quiet. They watched as the shadowy figure moved on and disappeared. One of the boys turned up the music again, full blast, saying, "Screw that guy. He's not the boss of us." All of the friends began laughing, all except one. The girl who owned the apartment was silent. She was deathly pale, and tears were streaming down her face. "What's wrong?" they all asked her. "Why aren't you laughing?" said one of the boys. "Why so serious?" asked another friend. "Are you afraid he's going to call the cops on us or something?" said another. It's not that," replied the girl. "You guys realize, don't you, that the man was at the apartment window? But I live on the fourth floor." Crazy eyes. When I was in high school, there was one boy in my class who was very weird looking. Most of the other kids were afraid of him, and everybody kept out of his way. He always kept to himself and never spoke to anyone. His name was Craig, but we gave him the nickname Crazy Eyes. He had the strangest eyes you have ever seen. They were large, round, bugged out, and disturbing. They didn't look human. It was almost as if they belonged to some sort of exotic reptile, like a chameleon or a lizard. During class, he remained completely silent, never asking or answering any questions. I got the impression that the teachers were scared of him as well. All he ever did was stare at everyone with his bugged out eyes, creeping them all out with that unsettling gaze of his. One Monday morning, we had a media class. The teacher split us into groups and gave us the task of making a short film. Due to the luck of the draw, Craig was assigned to our group. While we gathered around and discussed ideas, he kept his mouth tightly shut and just stared at all of us with his big, bulbous eyes. We eventually came up with an idea for a slasher film. The plot involved a crazed killer who goes around a school stabbing people. Craig was so odd looking that we unanimously decided that he should play the killer. His crazy eyes made him the obvious choice. As it turned out, the film was a big success. We managed to create a 5-minute film that looked almost as professional as a Hollywood horror flick. Surprisingly, Craig did a great job in his role as the killer. We shot hours of footage of him stalking the school grounds, running from tree to tree. He was armed with a fake knife that had a retractable blade. Then we filmed him stabbing a bunch of kids who were playing the victims. They were soaked from head to toe with fake blood. Taking part in the movie really seemed to bring Craig out of his shell. He took to acting like a fish to water. When filming was complete, we all noticed a big change in his personality. Somehow, it boosted his confidence. And although he still didn't talk very much, He held his head up high and seemed more sure of himself. On Friday, when we screened the film for the entire class, they loved it and started chanting, "Craig, Craig, Craig." That day, he was the most popular kid in the class, and he seemed to revel in the attention. However, when Monday morning arrived, Crazy Eyes Craig was nowhere to be seen. He didn't show up for school, and no one seemed to know where he was. For the rest of the week, he was absent from school. That weekend, I was at home working on an assignment for school. I overheard a report on the news about an attempted murder that had happened in our town. Shocked, I glanced up from my work, and when I set eyes on a picture they were showing on the TV screen, a chill ran down my spine. It was Craig. His humongous crazy eyes stared at me from the TV screen as the news reporter continued with the story. Apparently, he had been stalking his next door neighbor. She was a 16-year-old girl named Leanne. She, her younger sister, and her mother had been home alone while her father was away on business. The two girls stayed up late to watch a horror movie on TV, Nightmare on Elm Street. During the movie, they started to notice something strange. They opened a box of cereal and took two bowls into the living room to eat. But when Leanne went back into the kitchen, she found that the box was empty. When the movie finished, the girls went upstairs to get ready for bed. Leanne opened her bedroom closet and found Craig standing there, holding a hatchet. He was dressed in her mother's clothes and had makeup smeared all over his face. He told her to be quiet and tied her up. Then, he fetched her mother and her sister and marched them back to the bedroom. He tied them up well and left all three lying on the floor. He told them he was going to kill them and he'd be right back, so they had better start praying. The police said he went downstairs to ransack the house and steal valuables. While he was gone, the youngest girl managed to wiggle free of her bonds. She jumped out of the window and ran to a nearby house to raise the alarm. Within minutes, the police were breaking down the front door. They ran up the stairs with their guns drawn and found Leanne and her mother lying hogtied on the bedroom floor. There was no sign of Crazy Eyes Craig. The police freed the mother and daughter before conducting a search of the entire house. They combed the place from top to bottom, but couldn't find any trace of Craig. It was as if he had vanished into the night. In fact, nobody had any idea where Craig was, and while he was still at large, no one in town could rest easy. The incident was a huge shock for our small little town. Before that, it had been a peaceful, idyllic little place. Nobody ever locked their doors. That night, I watched my father screwing two sturdy deadbolts onto our front and back doors. on Monday morning. It was the talk of the school. None of the kids could believe what had happened, and everyone was terrified. At the back of the school building, there was a huge forest, and rumors spread among the kids that Craig was hiding in the woods, lying in wait for more victims. Some kids were too scared to show up for class. Leanne and her family stayed with relatives for a few days to get away from the house. In all that time, law enforcement combed the woods and searched house to house, but nobody could find that crazy-eyed maniac. Eventually, Leanne and her family had to go home. As soon as they pulled into their driveway, they saw something that terrified them. Craig was standing at an upstairs window, gazing out at them with a smirk on his face. The girl's father started yelling. The neighbors came running over. The police were called, and within minutes, they were surrounding the house. A SWAT team was ready besides a van, loading their weapons and studying the layout of the house. They searched the house from top to bottom, but they still couldn't find Craig anywhere. Instead, they were confronted by a disturbing scene. Pennies were glued to the ceiling. There was strange writing all over the walls. All of their clothes had been cut to ribbons. The entire contents of the kitchen fridge were neatly arranged on the living room floor, and the whole place reeked of urine and feces. The police conducted another thorough search of the house, but it turned up nothing. Just when they were about to give up and go home, one of the cops mentioned that he thought he had heard a faint noise when he was in the basement. He said it sounded like it was coming from behind the washing machine. The SWAT team immediately reorganized and descended cautiously into the basement. With their guns drawn, they pulled the washing machine away from the wall and curled up in a hole behind it. They found Craig. As it turned out, the truth was much more disturbing than anyone had imagined. Leanne and her family were horrified. For 2 whole years, Craig had been living in their walls. They found peepholes everywhere. While Leanne and her family had been sitting at home watching TV, eating dinner, taking a shower, getting dressed, going to the toilet and sleeping peacefully in their beds, Craig had been there the entire time, silently watching them with his crazy, bugged out eyes.